Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. And then I also want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 59. I'm going to tie these two today. Everybody found it? Isaiah 59. Now we'll read there first, one verse, and verse 2. But your iniquities, that word means lawlessness, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. So sin keeps God from hearing. Now he was speaking to the nation of Israel there, but it's still just as applicable anywhere else. Now let's go over to the book of Romans chapter 3. And look down at verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Think about that. Let that sink in. Of all the peoples in the world, nobody's right with God. All of us are on the same level. No matter what we think, we're on the same level. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Nobody seeks after God. I'll be talking about that. For they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Can you picture the way the world is today? Don't you see it? The Word of God describing people, folks. And it's people today. It was people like that in Paul's day. It's been like that all since the beginning of time. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no, here it is, here's the clicker. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's the problem, folks. When people don't fear God, they're in a pitiful state. Amen. Let's bow before the Lord. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for telling us our condition. And thank you that you have took it upon yourself to remedy our pitiful condition. Lord, thank you. And help me today to share with our people here, the people of God, what you have did for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I thank you for this opportunity in Christ's name. Amen. What Paul is saying and Isaiah has written is this great truth that man is dead spiritually. He's dead spiritually. And at the same time, he's an enemy of God. Dead spiritually, but an enemy of God. Furthermore, man cannot do anything about his state or his relationship with God. Think about this now. We can't do anything about how we are before God. We're sinners. What's even worse, we don't want to do anything. We're satisfied being a sinner. That's the reason people is not interested in getting saved. God has to track them down. And so, man has no interest in God. Man does not seek God. In Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And if people don't get under the sound of the gospel, if people don't hear about Jesus Christ from credible witnesses sharing the word of God, they can't get saved. The people that won't turn on a radio or a television or read the Bible or any other tract that's talking about salvation and what Jesus Christ has did and the state of man, they'll never get saved when you keep yourself away from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You won't get saved. You can't get saved. No matter how good you live, you won't be saved. Think about this. No one ever seeks God, but God is always seeking man. God is seeking man. How does God seek man? Well, God has someone to preach his word, share his word, and the Holy Spirit goes along with the word of God. And when that person hears it, he can start wooing on that person's heart, working on that person's mind. And sometimes, even then, they'll get saved. At other times, they may take that and think about it. They may have to hear it over and over. But it's God that's doing that. It's God that's going after that person. You know why God is doing that? Because he loves that person. God loves people. And he cares for people. And the Bible says he wants everybody to be saved. Amen? He wants everybody to be saved. God loves man. And our subject today is our reconciliation. It's a big Bible word, reconciliation. That means God has brought us back to himself. And he does that, as we'll be seeing, through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. Get this. There's no other way to be reconciled to God except through Jesus Christ. Our Sunday school lesson was dealing with some of that today. But the only hope for any person anywhere in the world at any time is faith in Jesus Christ. No, just being a church member is not good enough. Belonging to a religion is not good enough. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how God is reconciling us, bringing us back from being separated from him, spiritually dead, and bringing us back into fellowship with him. And this is so wonderful what God has did for us and is offering to do for everybody. But as Jesus himself said, only a few according to the numbers of people that there will be, only a few of them will ever make it to heaven because they love their sin. They love the things of this life. And they don't want to bow to a sovereign God. And that is so sad. Through reconciliation, God can forgive us. And here's the good part. Listen, He makes us a new person. We're no longer the same person we were. The moment you get saved, you're no longer the person you were. You become a new creature in Christ. You come from being a sinner to a saint. You become a child of God the moment you believe. Think about what a promotion you get when you accept Christ. And reconciliation is what God has done, bringing us back to Himself because He loves us and He wants us to be with Him forever. And I spend a lot of time thinking about how it's going to be when we get to heaven, folks. How's God going to arrange all this, that big deal He's got planned? Amen? I mean, it's going to be something. And through reconciliation, God forgives us and makes us a new person, and we didn't do anything. How about that? What else in this world can you get without doing anything? Yeah, salvation is free. The truth is, man does not know or realize his true condition before God. You know, most people, if you stop them and say, are you going to go to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, why? Well, I'm a pretty good person. That's what people say, Brother Chavis. I'm a pretty good person. Hey, you're not going to go to heaven on being pretty good. You can't even get to heaven on being pretty, can you, Evelyn? Amen? No. No. Man does not even realize his true condition before God. Oh, if we could just see. And the only way we can see our condition before God is through this book, the Word of God. This book tells us our condition before God. Jesus said, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You're going to perish if you don't believe. You're already on the road to perish. You can't get off. You can't do anything to get off of it. You're on that road. But Jesus said, if you believe in Him, you should not perish, but have, just the other extreme, everlasting life. That's what gets me, folks. Just think, you are going as a believer now. You're a believer? You're a real believer? If you're a real believer, you're going to live forever and never cry again once you get there. How about that? No more troubles. No more problems. Boy, what a life it's going to be, folks. Eating Snickers and Mounds, you know, and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When? I was a sinner. He didn't die for me when I was doing good. He died for me when I was doing bad. And He did that with every person. And so this is what reconciliation is about. We were dead to God. We didn't want anything to do with God. But God loved us and began to work through His Word, through His Spirit, and through people that knew Him to reach us so we might know His grace. Here in the entire world of humanity, the entire humanity is on the road to hell and they don't know it. Then the entire human race is just headed down to hell's road. The Bible says hell is enlarging itself to hold all the people. That's scary sounding, ain't it? The hell's enlarging itself? God has sent Jesus to save us, but we must accept Him. Most people refuse. Most people will say, well, I don't feel like it. You don't get saved on your feelings. You get saved by knowing you're a sinner and you don't want to go to hell and you want to be forgiven and you want to go to heaven and you want to know the Lord. Folks, the Lord loves us and He wants the best from us, and poor old man runs from the one that wants to give you the best life. Ain't that pitiful? Reconciliation, a change from intimacy with God, from being God's enemy, to friendship. God makes friends with us through Jesus Christ. It's a change in both God and man who has been at intimacy with each other. In 1 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, and you that were sometimes alienated or separated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Think about that. Through the body being put to death, we are reconciled to God through the offering up of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. Now that's how awful our sins were. Think about that. God could not be satisfied with our sins, but anything less than Jesus Christ dying. And that's what the Sunday school lesson was touching on again today. That Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law of God, fulfilled the demand of God. No person could do that. But Jesus Christ, because of who He was. Who was Jesus Christ? He was very God Almighty Himself in a human body. Boy, that's awesome. Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the image of the living God. You want to see God? Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That's awesome to think about, isn't it? Yeah. And so God has reconciled us. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And God has did all that for us. God has came up with His plan of salvation. And we didn't have anything to do with it. All we do is believe. We, like Abraham, have faith, and we are counted as righteous, the Word of God says. Isn't that good? God has no sin charged to us. And a lot of people can't get it in their mind. When you accept Christ as your Savior, get this in your mind. You lock your brain on this. All, A-L-L, all, I'm getting it now, of your sins have been paid for. Even the ones you're going to commit tomorrow. They've already been paid for. And we got these people that say, well, what if I sin? Well, it's already been paid for. Well, then does that mean I can go out and live like I want to? No. Because if you go out and live like you want to after you've really been saved, God's going to whip you. God's going to take you to his woodshed. And you're going to have all kind of problems if you don't repent. But that don't mean you lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation if you've ever been saved. You can't find one person in the Bible lost their salvation. Why? Because their sin is paid for. And God is satisfied. But as children of God, we do sin. And God will chasten us or discipline us if if we don't repent, turn from it. And God can turn the screws down tight. In fact, the sin that some Christians are committing today is the sin unto death. They won't repent as a Christian for doing wrong, and God just takes them out early. That's what happens to Christians that saved, that won't repent. God deals with them, and he can make you pay for it because you're bringing shame to him on who he is. And so we're supposed to, that's the reason I preached the other Sunday on sanctification. We got to live a sanctified life, a separated life, a godly life, because we're representing the Lord wherever you're at in this world today. If you will notice, it took the death of Jesus to make us holy and to be without condemnation. Now, this is the power of the death of Jesus Christ. For everybody that would ever live in this world, when Jesus died on the cross, everybody's sins was automatically paid for. Well, why don't they go to heaven then? Because you've got to, by faith, accept Christ. If you don't accept that payment, suppose someone offered you a Christmas gift, and they come up to you with a big smile and say, here's you a Christmas gift. I don't want it. Well, if you don't take it, you just missed out on that great gift that was purchased for you. I know I worked with a Mormon lady one time. They wouldn't buy a Christmas gift. They don't believe in doing that. But if you give them a gift, they'll take it. Jesus Christ has got you a gift. It's salvation. But you got to take it by faith. Amen? That's important. That's very important. The word reconcile refers to a change in the personal character of the sinner person, which ceases to be an enemy of God by wicked works and yields us up to him in his full confidence and love. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If we were saved when we were a lost sinner, think about what we have now. Because of his life. We've been given eternal life. We're going to live with him forever and forever and forever. And there'll never be an end to it. I don't suppose there'll be any calendars on the walls of heaven anywhere. When you're going to have to see when everything's going to end or something, or new year, because there's not going to be but one day. That's going to be a long day, ain't it? Wonder how many times you have to milk the cow that day, amen? Praise the Lord. Reconcile refers not to any change in our dispensation towards God, but to God himself as the party reconciled. From God we have received the reconciliation. He has conferred on us the token of his friendship. And you know why he accepts us? Here's the one reason God accepts any person. You accepted my son. God accepts you if you accept his son. His son was that sacrifice that has suffered like no other person has ever suffered. He suffered because he was paying for the wages of our sin. Sin is God hates, folks. We don't seem to think sin's too big a deal. It is to God. How? Because he's so holy. He's the pure one. He's the pure one. He can't look on sin. And he has to deal with it. And we need mankind needs to realize that. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, all things are of God, who hath committed unto us, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. When God saves you, you're not charged with sin. It's been dealt with. And from this point on, once you were saved, the day you were saved, from that day on now, you working and the way you live will determine what rewards you'll have when you get to heaven. Now, if you live a sinful, casual, indifferent Christian life, you can lose rewards. And there may be a lot of us when we get to heaven and God say, well, you see all these rewards here? These were yours, but you didn't live right. And you're going to miss these rewards because you brought shame to me, the Lord says. You weren't faithful. But you don't lose your salvation. Now, today we live and God blesses us. God blesses us. But when we get to heaven, that's when he rewards. That's when you get your rewards if you get any. And so we need to be mindful. Now, we don't serve the Lord for rewards. That shouldn't be the purpose. We should serve the Lord that he'd save a wretch like me. Amen? He'd save a wretch like me. The Apostle Paul speaks of reconciliation originating with God and consisting in the removal of his merited wrath. We deserve wrath. We may not think we do, but we do because we're such sinners. We're sinners. We were born a sinner. I had a little sinner born into my family this week. They're going to have to work on that child to teach it about Jesus because that little baby is innocent now. But there'll come a point when it's accountable. And if it's not raised for the Lord, that little baby that's so precious now will be in hell one day. That's terrible to say, but it's the true statement. People just don't seem to realize it's their responsibility to raise their children up for the Lord. Because they're God's children, that He's entrusted parents to raise for God. And too many of us preachers has failed to emphasize that. We were assigned to God's wrath, but now no more. Now no more. Sinners deserve the wrath of holy God because God is holy. He must deal with sin. That's what the cross is all about. That's the reason Jesus went through what all He went through. God was using Him to get rid of sin. And Jesus became that cursed thing hanging on the cross to take care of the sin problem for the whole world. And you see, the only way God could get rid of the sin for the whole world was through His Son, who was God. Only God could get rid of sin. No other human nail there could have paid for my sin. That other human would have just paid for their own. But Jesus, because He was holy God, sinless, He could pay for the whole world's sin. And God accepted Him. And God knew that. God planned that. God ordained that. Because He knew that's what it would take for me to have peace with God. And for any other person. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We don't do anything to get saved. God does it all. He even gives us the faith to believe if we'll hear His word. You got to hear His word. And God does everything else. He's an amazing God, folks. He's an amazing God. In Ephesians 2 and 16, that He might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. You know, the Jewish people, they are God's chosen people. And the Jews, they thought that, you know, God was their God, and us Gentiles, we were all dogs in their sight. And there's an intimacy between the Jew and the Gentile down through the ages. But Jesus Christ came and died and has bridged that gap. We've been reconciled. Now, the church, which is mainly a Gentile church, made up of people today, in the beginning there was right many Jews got saved, but hardly ever Jews get saved now. But the church is going to be made up of Jews and Gentiles, and that's going to be the bride of Christ. And it's those that have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And our new home is the New Jerusalem, that 1,400 square foot cube, not square foot, square miles, 1,400 square miles. That's going to be our home, it appears, that sparkling city where we'll live with our Redeemer. What a time that's going to be. It is clear that reconcile here is speaking of Jew and Gentile being reconciled into one body now. The church is not replaced Israel. The church is a different entity. And it's going to be the bride of Christ for eternity. When Jesus comes from heaven at the end of the tribulation, the church is going to be coming back on white horses, led by Christ on a white charger. And we're going to watch him as he speaks and destroys all the armies of the world. I don't care what kind of missiles or bombs or chemicals they got, they'll be helpless. They won't work. Christ is going to destroy all the armies, and then after that, he's going to gather all the people that survived the tribulation, and they're going to have to stand before him, and he's going to separate them. Those that had trusted him during the tribulation will be saved to go into the thousand-year reign with him, and those that didn't trust him will be put to death right on the spot. And Christ will set up his throne for 1,000 years of peace and prosperity with those that have been reconciled to God by faith. Something God has did for those who believe in Jesus Christ. The justice of God demands the punishment of sinners. The death of Christ satisfies God's justice and so reconciles God to us. God is now satisfied about sin since Jesus died. And reconciliation makes God our friend. You don't have to live your life scared God's going to jump on you. We're supposed to fear God and we should be afraid to sin against him. That's what that means. We should be afraid to sin against God. We got to live sanctified. We got to walk careful in this world. The devil's after us to deceive us, to lead us astray, to trip us. That's the reason we're told to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Remember this about an unsaved person. All they do is sin. That's all they do. They sleep, they're sinning. They're awake, they're sinning. Why? They're unsaved. They're spiritually dead. Separated from God. Rebelling against God. An unsaved person can be a good sinner. Listen to me. An unsaved person can be a good sinner. But good sinners will not go to heaven. So today we can thank and praise God for the grace of God in providing salvation for us through his only Son. Oh, you got a treasure there, folks, in salvation. You're wealthy today. You're rich today. You're a joint heir of Jesus Christ who owns it all. Amen? And listen to this. God did not have to lift his finger to do a thing to save us. He was not obligated to do anything for us. But he did. Because he loved us. It baffles me. How could God love sinners, though? But he does. It's amazing. God could have done like he did with Lucifer and the fallen angels when he left them in their fallen state to be cast into the lake of fire one day. See, when Lucifer and the angels of heaven sinned, God didn't make no way for them to be saved. No way for them to be forgiven. But man He did with man. When man sinned, God has made a way. I don't understand the difference. Maybe because the angels were living in the presence of God where man was not. But for whatever reason, God has made a plan of salvation for us humans. And did you know this? Listen to me. Don't you get proud now. But one day we're going to rule over the angels. Boy, isn't that a promotion? We've been promoted from a sinner to a saint, and now we're going to be promoted from a saint to be over the angels. In fact, we're going to even judge the angels. You see what God's going to do with us poor, wretched sinners that He saved by His grace and made it. We are a new person. We're not, as I've already said, we're not viewed by God as a sinner anymore. We're viewed as His children. We're viewed as His saints. That's what He's dealing with us, as children and saints of the Lord. He deals with the unsaved as sinners. God has given us the opportunity to repent of our sin and trust Jesus as our Savior. Because of what God has done for us, we see the character of God, the kind of God He is. He loves us. He loves us. John 3:16, that verse alone tells us how much God loves us. The cross tells us how much God loves us. God is also not only a God of love, but He's good. Have you discovered God is good to you? He's a good God. He's a good master to serve. He's a good master. He's a God of great mercy. Oh, I like in the Bible, it says God is great in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. God delights to show mercy. And God says, ask for mercy. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. Grace. What a great God that would love sinners, save us, make us His own, care for us. He has the best plan for my life and for your life. We come into the world and we're raised up in families, and most of the time I would dare say we all got plans to do this in life or that in life. Never think about, well, what does God want? God's the one that put me here. What does He want with me? I was that stupid. But God has a real plan for every life. You're not just here arbitrarily to do whatever you comes to mind. God's got a plan, but we got to ask the Lord, seek the Lord's will. God didn't put you here necessarily to get rich or be famous. You ever notice most of the famous people, the movie stars, the singers, most of them die young? They're living for themselves. God has the best plan for you. When we understand reconciliation, we should be humbled to think of what God has done to keep me out of hell. Do we have any volunteers today to go to hell? Nobody wants to go to hell? Well, while we've been sitting here talking with y'all this morning, people's been falling into that place, separated from God forever. They wouldn't listen to the gospel. they were not willing to hear. Look at people all around us whose lives are miserable. And they're living on drugs and alcohol. Poor. Some of them dirt poor. Unloved. Many with various physical conditions. Unhappy, etc. People just miserable. But you couldn't get them to go to a church? You couldn't get them to look up to heaven and call out to the Lord? No, they're just thinking about me. Me. My situation. They don't look where the hope's at, where the help's at. And it's available. It's available to the down and out just as much as it is to anybody else if they just call on the Lord. What's causing all this misery? Sin. Sin. Sin causes misery. Trouble. Sin is ruining lives all around us, and many will not listen to the gospel. Read the Bible. Go to church. Try to find help for their soul. And yet it's there available. People want God to help them on their conditions. Amen. God, I want you to help me on my condition. God don't operate that way, folks. God don't operate that way. God has the conditions that work. We repent of our sin. We turn from sin. That's what repent means. You turn from the way you're living and you turn to Jesus Christ and admit to him you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you and be your Lord and Savior and start serving him right then. And don't look back. Just keep going towards the goal line. People are blind to their problems. Man cannot solve his own sin problem. Think about this. Man cannot solve his own sin problem. It's hopeless. He's helpless. But God has solved the sin problem. God has solved it. God has the answer. And the answer is Jesus. Is the answer to the sin problem. Jesus sets you free. Jesus gives you life. Not just physical, but spiritual. And it also helps you with your physical life too. Yeah. Christ is offering everyone a better life if they'll just trust Jesus. People cannot see they could be happy going to church every Sunday. They just don't see. I don't see how I've got to get up every Sunday and go to church. I just don't want to go to church. That preacher wants my money. That's all they want. They want my money. I ain't giving them people. They ain't got a clue as to what we're giving our money for in here. They ain't got a clue. First of all, they're so stupid. They don't know that they don't have any money. Amen. That's how stupid they are. They don't have any money. All money belongs to God Almighty, folks. You don't have no money. That's not your shirt on your back either. It's the Lord's. He's letting you use it. We don't own nothing. I didn't even make myself. Amen? Boy, ain't people blind today. And they got a college education, too. Yeah. What sinners do not understand is Jesus gives you what you do not have. Jesus can give you what you don't have. He can give you peace, and there's nothing like that. Peace. Laying down and knowing that no matter what happens, I'd go be with the Lord. Hope. Got to hope. When a problem comes along, all you got to do is say, "Lord, Lord, help me." Boy, ain't it nice to have a friend like that, brother. He's a friend, folks. You've been saved. He's your friend. He's your best friend. We can have good friends here, but none like Jesus, because he can take care of any problem. And he lets us have problems for our own good. We've been reconciled to God. We were dead. We were separated. We were on our way to hell. But God put a cross up, put his only son on it. Let him pay for our sin by letting his own wrath come upon his son. All that hell could offer us forever went on Jesus when he hung on the cross. And because he was God himself, he endured, satisfied Holy Father. And now by grace through faith we can be saved. And one day we're going to join him. And I'm going to have a Baptist fit when I do. Amen? Amen? You here today without Jesus Christ, you never trusted Christ. Today's the day to trust Christ. He's already died for you. He's already paid for your sin. Don't you want to accept it? Don't you want to acknowledge it? And join in loving him and serving him and thanking him and sharing him? You won't ever regret it. I was raised in church. Mom and Daddy used to tote me in their arms to church. All my life I've been in church. I've never had these spells when I was missing church. If I'm out of church, I'm sick. I love to go to church, folks. Rick, what happened to me? I must have got saved, Brother Javis. I must be a new person. I don't dread going to church. Now, there's times I don't feel like it. I didn't feel like coming today. Hey, but if you go ahead anyhow, you can go. A lot of times. The Lord loves you, folks. Keep loving the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you, the Bible says. How do I draw nigh to God? Examine yourself. Confess anything in your life that would not please the Lord. And just throw yourself on his mercies. And just keep loving him and serving him and striving to exalt him. You won't ever regret it. At this time, maybe you want to come to the altar and pray for somebody that needs to be saved. Maybe you want to come this morning and talk to the Lord about your own situations. Maybe you want to just come praise the Lord that he would save you. Think about it. He would save you. Yeah, come praise him. Thank you.